Well, hello everyone, and quite an exciting video today. One of the books that I spent quite a long time going through back in the old Cigar Stream days, Imperial Obituary by Major General Richard Hilton, has finally, after almost 60 years, I think it's 57 years since this book first came out, is being republished by a buddy of mine here, Consumer. Say hello, sir.
Hello there.
And this is from Wilfing's Publishing. I mean, if I understand things correctly, you actually got in touch with the estate of Major General Richard Hilton, and they agreed for you guys to have the blessing of the Hilton estate for this republishing to go ahead. I wrote the foreword for it, which I'm also quite excited by. And the small part I played in bringing this back to kind of public attention. But yeah, why didn't you first of all tell us a little bit about? I should mention Imperial Obituary by Richard Hilton is basically the subtitle is The Mysterious Death of the British Empire, and I think this is a book everybody should read, and we can go into why soon. But how did this come about, Consumer? How did you manage to bring this book back out?
Right. So I guess I can start by introducing myself a little bit. So I go by Consumer in these spaces, and I work for the Beowulf Foundation. You might kind of describe us as a volunteer organization where we work to provide sort of services and products to our wider community. You might not have heard of us directly, but you've probably heard of some of the stuff we do. For example, basket weaving, Shieldings events, conferences, and hopefully now Wilfing's, our publishing house. Now you ask how this came about. Well, the first time I actually heard of Richard Hilton or Imperial Obituary was when you actually did a reading of the book on your channel about 2 years ago. And it was strike as very relevant and important to read, even 60 years later. But at the same time, it was a book that's very inaccessible in physical format. You can either look for an old copy, which is basically impossible, or you can maybe get like a kind of a reprint from a seller on eBay, which is also very expensive. And we thought we could do better and try to make it more accessible. As to kind of clarify, this book is not in the public domain. So we did approach Richard Hilton's family, and we asked them if they were willing to reproduce the book, and they were willing, and that's how we got this started.
Yeah, so, I mean, before we talk about the book, who was Major General Richard Hilton? You know, I've always been fascinated by these, I guess you'd say, like, holdover reactionaries in the 50s and the 60s. But, like, who was he? Who was Major General Richard Hilton?
Right, so Richard Hilton sort of descends from a long line of Hiltons, who essentially fought in almost every war that England has fought. Like his grandfather was a soldier, his father was a soldier, his son was a soldier, almost as famous as Richard Hilton himself. His grandson was a soldier, and his great grandson was a soldier. But Richard Hilton was born in the 1890s, and he basically served his entire career in the British Army, mostly in British colonial India, sort of in the 1920s and 30s, but also in both world wars. So this was basically a man who kind of like lived and breathed the British Empire. And that kind of informed a lot of his opinions and the way he sees the world. He is very much an arch reactionary, right? Even in the 30s, he's kind of being lampooned. But that is basically who Richard Hilton is.
And when you first got in touch with the Hilton family, were they reticent to for this book to come back out, or were they happy to hear from you? Or like, how did that whole thing go? Was it relatively smooth sailing?
It was actually relatively smooth sailing. So I got in touch with them. I explained that we had interest in reproducing the book. I also pointed out that there's been discussion of Richard Hilton's works online, pointed him to you. And he was just the guy I was in touch with. I'll kind of keep their privacy, but they were kind of over the moon that we could get these back. And we're not just going to be producing Imperial Obituary, but we'll also be producing all of Richard Hilton's works. He wrote 6 books in total.
Wow. But the only other one I've got or have been able to get hold of and read is called, I think it's called The 13th Power. But I'd be interested to see some of the others. So yeah, I mean, so that's Richard Hilton. I thought I'd and if you can hear a bit of whirring noise in the background, there's a guy doing works, and I've been, he's got like a leaf blower. I can't get rid of him, unfortunately. So there's a bit of noise pollution, but I thought I would read a little bit from the foreword consumer to kind of give people a flavor of why this book is of interest now. And then we can get kind of a little bit more into the weeds as we after I read this bit out, okay? So this is from my own foreword. I said, Hilton's analysis foregrounds four main causes for Britain's imperial decline. First and foremost, the total and shameless treachery of the Tory party, of whom he is a savage critic. This aspect of the book will most resonate with readers today who have just experienced 14 years of craven and borderline treasonous Tory rule, during which Britain experienced the largest wave of immigration in its history under Boris Johnson. Hilton focuses on a previous era of Tory betrayal, 13 years from 1951 to 1964, which saw them, the Tory party, give away most of the empire, as well as suffering the humiliation of the Suez Crisis. Winston Churchill, Anthony Eden, and Harold Macmillan are all held to account for their seemingly deliberate surrender of British territories around the world. Some passages by Hilton may resonate strongly with British patriots today. For example, when he writes, the indignation of British patriots should be reserved not for foreigners of our country who have only behaved as enemies normally do, but for British right-wing politicians who must have seen all this going on, who for 13 years had the power and responsibility of defending our country against such attacks, but who made no attempt to stop it, if indeed some of them did not actually aid and abet this enemy action. And I'll stop there, but it should be obvious why this book is relevant now, right?
Yeah, indeed. So obviously you'll see the parallels in the Tory betrayal, right? In that they have a very explicit policy, like we're going to preserve the empire, we're going to be conservative, and then they do literally the exact opposite. They either do labor, but they do it slightly slower, or they do it slightly faster. And that's one of the points people will most see similarity to.
Yeah, so sorry, this guy is piped up again. Why don't you go into, like, what is the overall thesis of the book, would you say? And what are some of the kind of aspects of it that you think people will find most interesting when they pick it up?
Right, so a very important kind of thesis that is also something we talk a lot about in our space is that Hilton almost rejects completely this kind of pure materialist view of history. In that, the British Empire had the Industrial Revolution, and therefore it was large, and that's why it was able to become an industrial power. Instead, Hilton refers very much to something called character, right? We might call this the British stiff upper lip, or maybe if you're in the language of the Prophets of Doom, you could talk about it as the spark of like a rising civilization. And Hilton kind of points out that this is a very important reason why the British Empire could be so widespread, because essentially the character of individual Englishmen was so strong and could be so respected as to allow for control. But other than that, you're going to notice some things such as leftist subversion of institutions, and this happens much earlier than the Cold War. But going out of just this kind of rise and fall of the British Empire, you will also notice that Richard Hilton does provide opinions and sort of pointers as to how Great Britain, even though the empire is not coming back, can still kind of maintain itself as a great country. But spoiler alert, it's not going to be by investing in the special relationship with America.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think I found most striking, and one of the reasons I love to read guys like this, John Bagot Glubb would be another one, is that this is the point of view of the military man. You know, we often talk about the great castes, you know, the priests, the merchants, the workers, and then there's the warriors. This is very much, I would say, the warrior point of view. Would you agree with that? That he sees things first and foremost as a major general. Do you think that's true?
Definitely. So he served essentially 13 years in the Northwest frontier in India, which is basically kind of the modern day border between Pakistan and Afghanistan. And he kind of had a very deep experience of kind of interacting with the locals and also in some extent in suppressing uprisings. And you see this in the book, in that he has no hesitations about using force to kind of crush dissent. And something that you could say triggers him is especially that the amount of force and pressure being applied on Great Britain is quite minimal, and yet the government still folds, essentially, at the slightest pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clearly a choice made by the ruling class. They could have decided otherwise. And see, this is one of those things that almost nobody talks about. Why did Britain just kind of give up the empire? What we're told is, oh, it's Mahatma Gandhi, it's nationalist uprisings, it's popular sentiment. Actually, if you read Hilton's account of it, they just kind of gave up. They just gave up, and at no point did it even occur to them to use any of the methods by which the British Empire had been held in place in its heyday.
Well, one of the most relevant chapters to this is actually the one you read on your channel, AA, 2 years ago. That's going to be chapter 9. And Hilton very clearly points out, using quotes from British statesmen themselves, that a lot of them, even up to the Viceroy of India, essentially wanted this to happen, right? They basically decide, and there's a very strong quote there, that because of, quote unquote, the faith that is in us, they want to essentially remove British rule of India. And they explicitly say that there's no particular popular clamor from the peasantry. There might be some from the intellectuals, but this isn't a democratic mandate. It's just the faith that is in us, essentially.
In fact, they don't just highlight that there's no popular sentiment. They complain about it. They say, oh, this is a problem. This is a problem. Only, you know, 5% of Indians support this cause. We need to do something about it, type thing. So Hilton even suggests that it was kind of like a, yesterday you'd call it like a deep state psyop to try to get more Indians on board with Gandhi, which is sounds bizarre, but you know, it's quite different from the version of events that you'd get on the BBC.
Yeah, it is indeed. And Hilton basically pulls no punches in criticizing that point of view, right? And he brings basically the receipts on how, you know, after this happened, it did not exactly go well. And Hilton, he's almost kind of grieving in a way, because this was a country he served in for a long time. And again, he kind of like lived and breathed the British rule in India and saw its accomplishments, and then only for it to be kind of destroyed by, quote unquote, the faith that is in us, essentially the faith of leftists.
Well, one of the things that I highlight in my forward is how alien this point of view seems today, like viewed from, you know, the point of view of 2025. This guy he seems like he's from a different planet. And yet it seems to me that some essence or some aspect of Hilton's way of thinking needs to make a comeback if there's going to be any hope of any British revival. Would you agree with that?
For sure. Another part of the foreword, not to spoil too much of it, but a very good part of the foreword is also that essentially critics would criticize Hilton for being too much in favor of British interests, right? Where Hilton has an opinion, oh, how does this benefit my opinion of British interests? But no, that's actually a question that people should be asking themselves more often instead of essentially the leftist point of view.
Yeah, basically just take your own side. In any given situation, the question should be, well, how do we benefit from this? How does Britain benefit from this? Is it in our interest to do this? Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of different ways you could answer that. I'm sure there would have been people at the time, economists and so on, saying like, look, well, actually, you know, we should give away these African territories because they cost them too much money or whatever. But I mean, from Hilton's point of view, money is not always the point, is it? There's other dimensions. There are other considerations than simply the bottom line all of the time.
Yeah, indeed. And even from that perspective, Hilton sort of brings up some points that, like, during this process, there would be a lot of, for lack of a better word, kind of robbery of British assets, right? So even from the economic perspective, it's not necessarily the case that just giving up the empire is all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, and in fact, we've seen a recent version of this with the whole Chagos Islands episode, where Keir Starmer, you know, still captured by this kind of leftist worldview, basically gave away this strategic asset at great cost to the country for no benefit to the country whatsoever, other than him being guided by quote-unquote international human rights law or something. which he selectively applies depending on who's involved, you know?
Yeah, it's quite right. And maybe not to provide too much of a spoiler for upcoming books, but he talks about this also a lot in books like The 13th Power and other books.
Great. So where can people find Imperial Obituary if they want to buy it today?
Right. So you just need to go on wylfings.com, W-Y-L-F-I-N-G-S.com, and you can get it there on paperback.
Will it be available anywhere else or just through your website for now?
For the moment, just through the website. But we do intend to produce a hardback version soon, and we also do intend to kind of make it a series also that people can buy once we get the other Hilton books up online.
Fantastic. Great. Well, yeah, pick up your copy of Imperial Obituary today. Certainly will be very interesting reading for anyone who's even remotely involved with British politics today, and even more so for people with a historical interest in how we got here, how we got to the kind of abject state the country's in today. I think the biggest thing, consumer, is it is basically the betrayal is longer than just the last Tory government or just like Tony Blair or just even Margaret Thatcher. You have to go right back to Churchill, even before Churchill. I mean, he starts his analysis all the way back in the 1920s in this book. And you start to think, hold on a second, how long has this country been run by its enemies?
Yeah, indeed. It does. It goes back at least 100 years. And Hilton shows that very clearly.
Fantastic. All right. Well, pick up the book today. Thanks for joining me, consumer. Also pick up courses at the Academic Agency, Trivia and Foundations of Shakespeare, etc. Foundations of Research. If you want to, if you're the certain person like me, even though it's impossible to find, I was still able to find a copy even before you guys brought it back out. If you want to know how to do that, pick up Foundations of Research. But most importantly, pick up the book and get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.